Oh, they can get to the finals. Oh, I'm convinced they can. I think they can win it all. I mean, I really do. They're one of, there's three in the East, and I'd say probably four in the West. So, seven teams I think that can win it all this year, and Phoenix is right there. And it's amazing because when I think we've talked about it before the season, where did I see this team? I said, yeah, man, I hope they just get in, you know, be in that 6-8 range, and maybe you can maybe steal around, but I honestly believe that they can win it all here. I really do. And that's saying a lot compared to, this Western Conference is as loaded as we've seen in a long time.
Those are the words of Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, from May 17th on this very radio show. 35 days later, not only do those words sound still great to Suns fans, but the Suns are making Bobby Marks look really, really good
prophetic.
Right now.
Yeah.
And Bobby joins us right now here on Bickley and Murata. Bobby, how are you?
Man, I should go play lottery tickets, huh?
I actually had
Atlanta beating Philly in the last round also, so my streak of picking teams is pretty good so far.
Man, and you know, piggybacking off what you said back in May in that cut, the landscape of the West changed dramatically over the course of this playoffs, but just focusing on what we've seen from the Suns and the Clippers, and I thought game one was extraordinary basketball, but the thing that I can't get past, Bobby, and I think you're going to agree with me here, is the way the Suns are connected and put together just from a team concept is hard for a lot of teams to deal with.
Well, and especially with Chris out, and I thought from the game, I guess it was game four in the Lakers series, they just grew up tremendously. Mm-hmm. They just took really a big step there, and Devin has kind of gone from just a good, all-star to a franchise-level player. Certainly yesterday confirmed it, and they're just showing you different ways that they can score the ball. Certainly defensively, they've been one of the better teams here, but it feels like they're kind of just getting better. From the Denver series to game one, we'll see where this goes. We'll see. I'm not expecting Kawhi back for the series. I think this is kind of who you're going to see from the Clippers perspective. We'll see if maybe they can get Chris Paul back by the weekend here. I think you have to be happy because they are not just, hey, we've gotten to a conference finals, everything is gravy after this. I think there's a mindset that they're in it to win it all right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's also sort of a revelation here in Phoenix, particularly over the weekend's games, and after watching Brooklyn lose, that wow, Phoenix might be the best team left in this tournament. And it's apparent to everyone, but for everyone who's lived this narrative arc for the past 10 years, it's just hard to wrap your brain around it, Bobby.
Well, yeah, it's a matter of just kind of whoever is the fittest left standing. I mean, that's really what the playoffs have taught us. I think Brooklyn, with Kyrie and then Harden at less than 100%, they could have, like I said, a Durant foot from getting to a conference finals. And it'll be interesting out East with Milwaukee and, Atlanta, that's an intriguing series here, but I think I do think if you probably stack up the four teams, that Phoenix would probably be the number one seed out of this group of four right now.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Obviously, when you get to the playoffs, adjustments are constantly happening. And I think mid-game, Ty Lue was adjusting things in terms of dealing with DeAndre Ayton. If you had to forecast like the next big adjustment by the Clippers, what do you think's coming, Bobby?
Well, I don't think they're going to go big. I think you're probably going to still see Batum primarily at the five here. I think I don't see them starting Zubac and kind of going in that direction. They already did it in the Utah series with, I think, Gobert one game, and it didn't work out here. I think, this is kind of who they are right now. I don't know how many more adjustments you can have. I mean, we've seen the best of Terrence Mann. We've seen Luke Kennard come off the bench. Marcus Morris certainly rolled the role players there. There's not much left there. So it's like, hey, this is our best lineup that we're going to put out. And I think what the Clippers learned in game one is that DeAndre Ayton is a lot different than Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
offense. I mean, he is, I think he's a little more versatile. I think he can get out and defend. Certainly, you know, if they're going to spread the floor and they're going to put, you know, just a small ball lineup out there. And I don't know if that's going to work like it did in games 5 and 6.
Do you think there could be a bigger role for Boogie Cousins in this series?
I think so. There was a stretch there, I think it was the second quarter, where he had, I think, maybe eight points, 4 rebounds. He had a couple baskets in a row. So I think that's, if anything, that maybe that's what you do, but then that takes somebody off the court for you. I don't know. I don't know if it's a sustainable. I don't know if Cousins can give you 30 minutes here. I don't know if he's there, but I think, you know, could his minutes increase? Possibly. A little bit different of an inside presence for them.
All right, I'm curious what you think when you watch the Suns play and just the level of selfless basketball, the willingness to pass and move the ball movement, the camaraderie on this team is off the charts. Is that obvious to you when you watch? And what does that mean to a basketball team when you can really find that elite level of connectivity?
I just think it means that hero ball in the playoffs doesn't work. And I think they've realized that you can go around and watch a lot of these teams that are sitting at home right now. I think Philadelphia, certainly, you know, down the stretch of those, you know, games 5 and 7 here, I thought they became, you know, selfish. I think Brooklyn was basically kind of, you know, backed in a corner with Durant basically on an island by himself here. And I think for any of these teams to get out of these rounds to an NBA Finals here, it's going to have to be not just one or two guys. It's going to have to be, you know, probably 7 or 8 players here. And you saw it in game one. We'll see what happens in, you know, as you guys know, every game is kind of a different animal here. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see in game two.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA Front Office Insider, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. Moving away from the Suns for a second and looking at the situation in Philadelphia, it was hard to watch Ben Simmons at times in this series with the lack of confidence he has. The comments coming from Philly in the media availability after the game didn't paint a picture of confidence. Are you expecting massive changes with Philadelphia this offseason, Bobby?
You know, and I just did a podcast with Zach Lowe, and we talked about it, and I said, you know, like, if you're a team out there and wanting Ben Simmons, are you going to, you know, inherit that contract? That contract's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, $147 million left. If he was a free agent right now, would the team sign him for that amount? I don't think there would be anybody. So people can scream they want Ben Simmons out and we want change in here, change is not always that easy. And I don't think you want to sell him on 20 cents on dollar either. So something's got to figure itself out here because, yeah, it was troubling. I mean, the dunk at the end, right? I mean, passed it to Tybull. Man, like, there's something going on there that none of us could figure it out. And it's something, and it felt like somebody kind of, like, kidnapped his body and put somebody else in there. And, you know, certainly defensively, he's still at an elite level here. But you're not going to win many playoff games when you're basically playing 4 and 5 basketball. Oh. And I think they'll probably be a more aggressive with Simmons from a trade standpoint than maybe they were last year or even in the offseason. But, you know, when you're making $33 million and, you know, it's not a franchise. I don't think he's a franchise-level player.
Yeah.
The return value is not always there.
Last one for you, Bobby. We appreciate the time. James Jones won Executive of the Year. Well-deserved. Yeah. The Suns do get a postseason award. I was a little surprised the voting was as close as it was. Were you surprised by that?
I was. I mean, he just barely, I think, edged Dennis Lindsay from Utah. And Dennis, I'm a big fan of Dennis here, but their offseason really consisted of you know, Gobert and Mitchell extensions. I mean, that's kind of what it is. I don't know what the criteria is for executive here. I really don't. I mean, it's voted by all the GMs here, so maybe they don't know it either. But you know, considering, like, I mean, when you do the Chris Paul trade, isn't that enough? I mean, like, God Almighty.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He won it though, and he deserves it. And I threw out a tweet yesterday to Ryan McDonough, who had been there. And I know there was a lot that happened there, certainly the coaching carousel. But I do think you got to give a little bit of a credit, you know, Booker and certainly Ayton, you know, at one. And then, you know, the Bridges trade was really good too. So kudos to James and that group there for. It's amazing. It's an amazing story, as you guys know. I mean, compared to where it was 2 years ago to 3 games away from an NBA Finals.
Bobby, great stuff as always. We always enjoy having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.